The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now I'm joined by Professor Nikki Ralph, who is from the Institute of Dermatologists. Nikki, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
This is Menopause Awareness Month.
That's right, yeah.
And we are going to talk about the effect of menopause on skin. Many women who've been through it know about it, but not many others might be aware that this is one of the side effects.
Yeah, so menopause, I suppose, to define it, is essentially 12 months after your last ever menstrual period. But the entire process can lead, obviously, from perimenopause into menopause, and that can be ranging for 10 years. So women can develop symptoms. The average is about 45 to 55 years. And then the age when you've been a year after losing your period is 51. But some women in their late 30s would even have some symptoms.
Now, people give out about the symptoms, the hot flushes or flashes, as they call them, and whatever other symptoms they might have, but they may not consider that they could have skin problems.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously we have estrogen, progesterone, that the female hormones that we rely on, and then unfortunately they start to decline. So when your ovary starts to shrink, that is the primary source of your estrogen, which is essentially a steroid hormone. And then if that's not being produced anymore, you get the knock-on effects. So in the skin, we'd often see women coming for lots of other reasons to the clinic, but then saying, you know, my skin has suddenly gotten dry, or I feel my skin is sagging, or I just feel
and
like I've aged.
What role do those hormones have in creating nice skin?
So they are involved in transepidermal water loss. If you're losing your water across the top layer of your skin is going to appear more dry. You'll notice your fine lines and wrinkles more easily. And it also helps with collagen stimulation, which is essentially the scaffolding for your skin. So it keeps everything nice and lifted and plump. So unfortunately, if that collagen is decreasing, then you're going to look saggy and wrinkly. So normally when you're younger, we lose about 1.5% of our collagen per year from roughly your mid to late 20s onwards. And for men, that stays stable for the rest of their life. For women, unfortunately, in those 5 years after menopause, they lose approximately 30% of their collagen in that 5 year period.
Okay. And that's the scaffolding that's holding the skin in its nice
shape. Yeah. So when women say, I literally woke up one day and I looked old, they're really not making it up. It's actually true. And then in the years after that, they lose it at a rate of about 2.1% per year. So it's still accelerated.
Now, since these are hormones that are the deficiency is causing this, hormone replacement therapy, would that not simply give you back your hormones and give you back your nice skin?
Yeah, well, of course, it absolutely does help. But for some people, they don't want to take tablets, or they don't want to put on patches or gels, or they may be contraindicated to it. But certainly we do see women who go on hormone replacement therapy and then they feel an awful lot better. They feel they get their glow back in their skin. Another area of the skin that's particularly infected in women is unfortunately the genital skin. So they'll see that their skin is thinning and drying and they get very symptomatic, and certainly HRT or topical estrogen. You don't necessarily need to take the tablets for some women, but if they put the cream on, that will also benefit that area.
So talk to me about the other skin effects, that there's this wrinkling and the sagging of the skin, but also possibly acne or rosacea.
Yeah, so we don't know the exact role. It's not entirely clear, but certainly when women hit that age of the menopause years, we will certainly see an increase in rosacea. So women in their 40s and 50s will certainly present with lots of little pus bumps or red spots across the cheeks and the nose. Definitely, if you're losing more water, your skin barrier becomes more dysfunctional. And we know that's what contributes to having rosacea. So if you're suffering with that, definitely seek an opinion from your GP to try and help. There's lots of medical therapies that
now
work really well.
This process is inevitable. It happens to all women.
Yeah.
So is there anything that women can do before it happens to prepare for it and maybe buttress the skin against the effects?
Yeah, so definitely. I mean, anything that you can do to try and stimulate your own collagen. And there's natural ways to do it, and then there's other more invasive ways. So obviously, there's lots of machines out there. There's lots of injectables that people can use. You can use a combination of polynucleotides, which are marine derived, and hyaluronic acid. So naturally, hyaluronic acid is moisturizing. It's made in your skin, but unfortunately, it declines as we get older. So you can inject that into the skin, lots of little injections to give your skin that glow and that plumpness. You can use machines such as radiofrequency microneedling, which makes lots of little microchannels into the skin to stimulate your own collagen and elastin to lift and tighten.
You're attacking the skin in a way, and the skin reacts by creating...
Yeah, so you're creating these tiny little wounds, and then your skin heals itself by creating collagen. So you're essentially tightening the skin. So you can do that. Definitely women will notice a change in their texture as they get older. Their skin looks a bit more coarse, and they'll also notice their pore size increases. So all of those treatments can help with that.
Now, what about injectable fillers?
Yeah, so majority of fillers on the market are hyaluronic acid, and certainly they can be used in localized areas, but it's not safe to inject them into the entire face. Like, you can't put them, you know, right under the thin, crepey skin under the eye. So we use other treatments such as PRP, platelet-rich plasma, which is taking your own blood and injecting
it, yeah.
Exactly, and injecting into the skin, or using those polynucleotides in that area is a great treatment.
I've been looking at some of the stuff online that suggests old therapy.
Yep.
What's that?
So old therapy is a high intensity ultrasound. So it's bypassing the top layer of your skin and getting right down deeper into the second layer and then into your SMAS layer below that to try and lift and tighten. So the beauty of that treatment is there's no downtime. So you don't have to hide away after it.
Okay. Morpheus 8.
Yeah, again, that's a combination like we just talked about with radio frequency microneedling, again, lifting and tightening the skin.
Radies.
That is a form of filler. Okay. So a slightly different version, but again, it's try to essentially maintain the structure of your skin. So it's like the scaffolding of your skin. And that can be injected into places like the back of your hands as well, because often a sign of aging is when our skin gets thin and you start to see your veins more readily on the back of your hands.
Sculptra.
Sculptra is another form of a filler. Again, that's not one that fills in the sense you don't look puffed up after it. It's one that is maintaining your structure. So again, your scaffolding.
Okay, now what about stuff that you hear about all the time, like retinol?
So retinol is a great treatment. So that is basically in a topical preparation, we use it, applying it only at nighttime because it makes you more sun sensitive and it gets broken down by UV light. So you put it on at nighttime and you're using it on the face primarily, but it can be extended onto the neck and chest to stimulate your own collagen and elastin to try and help stop those fine lines and wrinkles. So really, you know, there's no real reason why anyone shouldn't use retinol except during pregnancy. You're not supposed to use it.
Okay, now some of the other conditions we mentioned, rosacea, what's the treatment for that?
So rosacea, first and foremost, use a good sunscreen every morning. Ideally one that may contain zinc or titanium dioxide, so it acts like a shield because UV will trigger rosacea. Making sure you strip your skin routine back to bare basics, so
and
not using harsh products.
That that sunscreen, do you put that on before your moisturizer or after your
moisturizer? So it's the last thing. So you can moisturize or put a serum on in the morning, and then the last thing between you and the sun is essentially the sunscreen. And if people want to wear makeup, they can just put that on top of their sunscreen.
Okay, and where people have these broken capillaries, what is the treatment for them?
So the best treatment for that would be IPL, intense pulse light. So it's basically targeting different wavelengths of light. So targeting everything red, which, as you said, is the broken capillaries, but also it fixes the brown spots, so the age spots that a lot of people would see on their face, unfortunately, as we get older.
And how effective is that?
I mean, effective.
Is it visible after treatment?
Absolutely. It's one of my favourite. We usually recommend a course of four, but it's the best treatment for seeing immediate results. So even after your first session, you'll have less obvious broken capillaries. Your pigmentation, if you do have it, will look a little bit darker for about 3 to 4 days, and then it starts to disappear. But after each session, you look better. So it's kind of instant gratification.
Okay, now the acne, which people don't expect, you know, they've had it when they were 15 or 16. They don't expect it when they're 50 or 60.
No, exactly. Yeah.
So what's the treatment?
We think it's possibly because, again, it's not fully understood, but we think it's because of the estrogen decline and the unopposed androgens, which is the male hormone that it stimulates the oil glands to create acne when you're at that menopausal age. So we can use essentially anti-androgens to stop the testosterone effect on the skin, or we can use isotretinoin, so either of them. But certainly if it's on a milder scale, we might just use topical retinoids like we already chatted about.
Now, I'm sure you'll be delighted to hear this. Does collagen loss cause cellulite around the buttocks? Does eating chicken feet boost collagen? I saw it on TikTok.
Did you say chicken feed?
Feet.
Feet. There's lots on TikTok and I'm not on TikTok. So not that I was aware of, but I mean, obviously meat is a form of collagen in the sense of certainly taking collagen supplements if it's a hydrolyzed collagen. So it has to be hydrolyzed because we can't absorb. It's a very large molecule.
You see, you wonder about taking stuff like that, which presumably your stomach acids will attempt to break down.
Yeah, so I mean,
does it ever transfer to where you want it?
Oh no, it does, but there's obviously clinical studies been done over this over time. So definitely 5,000 grams and above of hydrolyzed collagen has been shown to benefit your skin.
Eczema on the face, nothing clears it up completely, only warm sunshine. Is light therapy good?
Light therapy is good because it has a slight immunosuppressant effect on the skin. But the only problem with light therapy is you can't stay on it forever. So it will give somebody a remission. But if you have long-term eczema, it usually has to be maintained with other therapies.
No, people will talk about mixed messages that on the one hand, go out there and if you do, put sunscreen to beat the band on your gob.
Yeah.
And yet sunshine is good for you.
No, it is good for you. And it helps with obviously vitamin D production.
But you don't really get it if you've sunscreened your
No. So I'd usually allow people to have, you know, 5-10 minutes without, you know, know, putting on their sunscreen if they do have a skin condition like psoriasis or eczema, and then put on their sunscreen.
Your thoughts on topical steroid withdrawal and where to get support in Ireland. Most dermatologists don't recognise the condition.
Yeah, so there is a big group. If you go onto Google and you put in topical steroid withdrawal, you'll see an awful lot about that.
What is that phenomenon?
So basically, if you've been using topical steroids, particularly potent ones, so strong ones, for a very long time, and you suddenly stop, absolutely your skin will flare. So it's hard to say, is it actual topical steroid withdrawal in that sense, or is it just when you're not using it, is your skin going to go back to the way it was? So I don't prescribe topical steroids in a potent way for people for years at a time. If you've literally used it for weeks and every time you come off it, your skin is flaring, then you absolutely need to talk to your dermatologist about moving on to the next therapy. Yes.
And what would the next therapy be?
Well, we've lots of systemic therapies. So taking tablets, as you said, you can use phototherapy, but if that doesn't, geographically, doesn't always suit people to come into the hospital on a regular basis, we would use oral therapies that, again, they all suppress your immune system, such as methotrexate, azathioprine, cyclosporine. There's plenty of medications. And then if that doesn't work, we have new biologic therapy. So dupilumab, and then another family of drugs called the JAK inhibitors. So in the last 5 years alone, there have been huge advances in eczema therapy.
Now, you know that many young people are trying to do things to fight City Hall, and you can't beat City Hall. It's eventually going to wrinkle your face no matter what. So are they wasting their time and money in their 20s doing stuff to their skin to try and offset the effects of menopause, which is inevitable?
Yeah, no, I mean, of course it's inevitable. And the reason we see a lot more is because, thankfully, we're all living longer. So we live a lot of our life in the postmenopausal state. But no, they're not wrong. I mean, there's no point in doing anything to your skin at 18. Your collagen is perfect. But from your mid-20s onwards,
you're starting to
anything you can do at that point. But sunscreen, Pat, is the most important thing at that age, because that's 80 to 90% of your wrinkles are from the sun. So if you just didn't get loads of sun on your face, you wouldn't look as old.
And a final one for the moment, Connor in Cork. What's the best solution to redness under the eyes? So sick of people saying I look tired when I'm not.
So he may have ocular rosacea. Obviously, without seeing him, it's not possible to say definitively. But a lot of people, 10% of Irish adults, suffer with it, and they will get irritation, dry eye, and redness along that rim. And we actually can do IPL for that area. So that is a treatment. So and that's what we do in the clinic for patients for dry eye and redness.
Okay, very good. Professor Nikki Ralph, consultant dermatologist with the Institute of Dermatologists. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.